number 5. Everyone was filled with awe. Now, I think awe is just like, we use the word too often, don't we? Awesome, everything is awesome. You know, just like, and it becomes meaningless to a certain extent. But some things are awesome. And what was happening in the early church was certainly awesome. And I think that probably onlookers, looking at the church as they met in the temple courts. So this was not like in a huddle in a room somewhere. This was in a public plaza where they could be seen, where they could be heard. We could watch their behavior, hear what they were praying about, hear the apostles preaching, and see God doing amazing things amongst them. People were in awe of the early Christians. We'll revisit this in a moment later on. But I think primarily this relates to the believers themselves, that they were in awe of what was happening in their midst as they devoted themselves to these big four things, the teaching and the fellowship and the remembering the Lord's death and to prayer. God was powerfully amongst them, and they were in awe of what was happening. And I don't think we should ever really lose that sense of kind of, you know, reverence. If we believe, if we really believe it, and we say it so often in our services that God is in our midst, if we really believe that, is there not that sense in which we're, if God is really here, that sense of awe, of wonder, of fear, what's going to happen, of respect, of reverence. And the early church certainly had that. They were filled with awe. There was that sense of that God was there. They knew it. And people looking at them could see from their behavior that they knew God was in their midst. So that's number 5. I've called it reverence. And here's number 6, verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe or reverence at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Number 6 I've called supernatural power. Now, when you think of it, the Holy Spirit has come. God, the Holy Spirit, is in his church, is in Christian believers, is in you and me. And therefore, we should not be surprised that there is supernatural power in the church. Now, what I would say is I think that this was a unique situation when the apostles were ministering, so I don't think we should run away with the idea that all the time, every 5 minutes, there are going to be amazing signs and wonders and miracles happening. But nevertheless, God is a God of the supernatural. So we should not be surprised when amazing things happen, when inexplicable things happen, when there are answers to prayer that we can only say that is God coming through in a supernatural and a powerful way. And whilst not trivializing amazing things, surely the greatest example of God's power is changed lives. Like people who were just nowhere, just ruined, wrecked, going the wrong way, spiraling downwards. They encounter Christ, they have their sins forgiven, they have the Holy Spirit in them, and they change. That's a miracle. Let's never underestimate how amazing a demonstration of God's power a changed life actually is. We want to see that all the time in the church, don't we? We want to see people being changed. We want to see God at work. But he can work in all kinds of ways. I say, I believe this was a unique period when God did amazing miracles through the apostles. But God is still a God of the supernatural, and he can do whatever he chooses to do, whenever he chooses to do it. So we should expect supernatural power to characterize the church and also our own lives. There should be something at work in us. That something is the Holy Spirit transforming us, enabling us. It's not going to happen overnight. It's the work of a lifetime to be transformed. What is God doing? He is transforming us into the image of his Son, and that is a supernatural thing. I mean, old habits are so difficult to get over, but we can get over them, get beyond them. Old patterns of behavior, old ways of thinking, old ways of relating to other people, old ways of looking at God and ourselves and all these kind of things. can be changed by the power of God's Spirit within us. God is at work in the church and in individual Christians, in you and me, supernaturally, to work out his purposes. So that's number six. So I'm just going to keep going over them to get them into your mind. Apostolic teaching, fellowship, remembering the Lord's death, prayer, reverence, supernatural power. So we've had six. So we're well on the way to getting to our 10. Number seven, verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, this does not mean that they all lived together in a commune. I've even heard people trying to say, well, this is an early form of communism. No, it's not. This is the believers caring for each other as an expression of fellowship. And the bottom line is nobody was in need. Get to Acts 4:34, description of the church. Nobody had any need. Why was that? It was because the people who had didn't hang on to what they have, but used what they had to benefit those who did not have. Can you repeat that? I don't think I could repeat it either. I think you get the drift of it. It's not like they gave up their possessions. It's that they gave up their right to their possessions. It's not that property was destroyed and handed over to the church. It's that selfishness was destroyed, grasping me first, mine, our, we. We love these words, don't we? It's mine. No, you can't have it. It's my pen. It's my laptop. It's my car. And I have all these things. But, well, at the end of the day, does it really matter that much? And it was selfishness was the thing that was really destroyed here, that they had everything in common, the sense that, well, if there is need, then the need is met. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had need. Again, I think the focus here is primarily on those within the church fellowship who had need, but I would think it's quite probable that it extended beyond that. And that may be one of the reasons why the church was held in such high regard by people outside. So that's number seven. They cared for those in need. There should not be anyone in the church in need. We've all got enough to meet each other's needs. And that was the idea of having things in common. They didn't hang on to stuff as their own. They shared as a manifestation of fellowship. So that's number seven, care for those in need.